In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Apology to the Augsburg Confession has these words. The greatest possible comfort comes from this doctrine, that the highest worship in the gospel is the desire to receive forgiveness of sins, grace, and righteousness. And Luther said in the Large Catechism explanation to the first commandment, a God, your God, is that to which you look for your greatest good. I love my mother. Through her, God gave me life. She is not the most pious Christian woman in the world, but through growing up in an orphanage and through her example, she taught me how to suffer and still confess Christ. I love my wife. She has made this lonely man whole and brought a discipline and a stability to my life. She is my best friend and a good theologian to boot. I love my children. They have multiplied the joy in my marriage and gladdened my heart with their laughter and challenged my intellect with their questions and their wit. I love my life for all of these reasons and more. And that's what makes the word of Jesus so difficult. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Can you do it? Can you be his disciple? I cannot do it. And if you are honest, neither can you. To hate all things, including yourself, is to be a disciple of Jesus. We must not attempt to soften the blow of this passage by saying that Jesus really didn't mean it. The Christian faith means that we deny everything that might exalt, everything that might comfort, everything that might satisfy the self, in order that we might lose ourself in Christ. And by losing, we find all things. It is precisely in this letting go of those things from which we might normally receive our good, our mother, our wife, our children, the works of my own hands. It is precisely in the letting go of these things that the arms of faith are open to receive the only truly good one. Can you let go of these things? Can you do it? Can you be my disciple? Are you able? Do you have what it takes? These are the questions asked by these sayings of Jesus. Which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Sit down. Count the cost. Are you able to be his disciple? Of course not. A sinner does not have the resources to be his disciple. He might think that he does, but he does not. The requirements of faith are too high. And this is precisely the admission of faith. Not, I think I can, but I cannot by my own reason or strength. This saying of Jesus does not direct you inside yourself to find there the strength of faith, but rather outside of yourself to the truth that in yourself you are powerless to be his disciple, to love him with all your heart, and to trust in him completely for every good. Using a different analogy, Jesus asks basically the same question again. What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. Can your 10,000 defeat his 20,000? No way. I am not strong enough to wage the battle, and yet the battle must be waged. The conditions of peace between the sinner and God require that someone else must do the battle. Someone else must make peace for me. Surrender. It's all you can do. Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is the great paradox of faith. We are called to do what we are unable to do. This is the cross of the Christian faith, the cross of which Jesus speaks. The good that I would do, I do not do. And that which I would not do is the very thing that I do. To bear your cross is to suffer the tug of your own flesh against your faith. It is to suffer the angst of your old nature, the pain of being a sinner who is unable to completely get rid of his old skin, the strain of being in the world but not of the world, of loving your wife yet hating her for the sake of Christ, of desiring to have the needs of your body and life met while considering it worthless, that you might gain Christ. All of this is part of the cross. It is the life of faith that is lived right in this world with all of the obligations attached to it and with your own sin still around your neck, while at the same time, considering everything rubbish that you might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of your own, a righteousness which comes from the law, but having the righteousness which comes from God by faith. That's what faith is. That's what being a disciple of Jesus means. Such a faith only comes through his gifts, where in the waters of the font he washed your dirty and parched skin and made it pink and clean and new. Where in holy absolution, he quickens you and makes you alive again in the forgiveness of sins. And in his supper, where he feeds you body, soul, and spirit with his body and blood, given and shed in your place. It is easy to listen to these words of Jesus in the way of the law. In the way of the law, there is never any comfort for the sinner. But Jesus' words are always spoken in the way of the gospel, even when they sting. God's gifts for the unworthy and the undeserving and the faithless This is the way of the gospel. Is it not because of his gifts that we believe? Is it not because of his gifts alone that we are his disciples? Is it not because of his gifts alone that we bear our cross? Is it not precisely because he has done for us and continues to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves? Is it not because he suffered in our place? Is it not because he bore our sin, took our punishment, declares us righteous for Jesus' sake? Is it not because his gifts, the forgiveness of sins, grace and mercy, are sweeter than life itself? Indeed it is. In the name of Jesus, the baptized said, Amen.